Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire downwards in Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego. Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo. But the Masayo ain't playing no wiggles. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or bury the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go. For all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinity Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale.
Oh man.
One of those days.
It's not a good first appearance.
No, this is not his
day. Oh, it's not his first?
No, he did.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you were here the day he came.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
See, I think he was here one time.
Yeah?
Okay. I forgot.
I think me, you, and Mariah.
Yeah?
It's all right, man. It's all right, man. I'm contagious. I'm rubbing off on everybody.
Oh, bro.
Hey, shalom, shalom, and welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Captain Aparia, happy Sabbath, happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. Soldier Daniel.
Yeah. What's the long way that you got to say it in Spanish? The only way to say it, there's no word for Passover.
Oh.
Because if you say, actually, Pascua is Passover, but people associate it with Easter. Go
that
see
is
how
true.
The world,
that is
you know, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. Pascua is really Passover, but they it's synonymous with Easter.
You said Pascua.
Pascua.
Pascua. Pascua with a P. Pascua. Like Pasquale. Pascua.
Yeah. So we say la.
Don't matter. It's not a precious language.
What do we say? La fiesta de pan sin levadura.
Yeah. I say phobe. F-O-U-B. It's too long. I mean, I wrote it out.
Phobe.
I wrote it out for this one,
the
man.
The Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the Passover. We're on the closing night of that. All praises to the Most High for putting that in our spirit to keep that. And Lord's will, in the pre-class, I'm going to touch on that as far as the spiritual reason we keep it now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we'll you know, I'm going to freestyle that, though. I didn't write the notes. So I'm going to freestyle because, you know, it's just that kind of week.
Mm-hmm.
Freestyling every day.
Freestyling week.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
life is crazy. This captivity is no joke.
I'm telling you, because let me tell you, you know, like in Ezekiel when he talks about how he ate the scroll,
right?
And it was like
sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his stomach.
That's the type of week it was for me. It was a bitter sweet week. Because I had some blessings come through. All
right.
Praise to the Most High Christ for that. But also a lot of things going on in the body, which is typical. You know, nothing scandalous.
Right around Passover.
Right, just a lot to deal with. You know, speaking about what we were speaking about earlier, like as far as the captains and stuff, man, now it's like I got even more captains reaching
more
out to me and looking to me like,
yeah.
Yo, there's days, man, where I'm available and nobody calls me, and then there's days I'm so busy,
bombarded.
And then everybody's calling me for something, and I'm like, oh, gosh.
Well, I'm here to help you.
I got 26 others now to help me, so trust me, I'm going to be using each and every one of you, all right? I wasn't kidding when I posted that glass. I said, all praises for laborers, you know?
Well, you know, if I call you, Kevin, it's going to be amazing. Like, oh my God!
I know Daniel never be bothering me, bro. Like I think once in a while he PM me with something, like, but it's like once in a very rare blue moon he PM me for something. But you know, hey, if you call me, I'm notorious. But because you know why? If the calls are coming in, I got to prioritize. Okay, soldier, officer, bishop. Okay, I got to take that call.
You leave messages though, right?
Oh yeah,
because Judah has a tendency not to do that for some reason, man. They'll call you and just. Think you're a mind reader.
Yeah. Aralai, we're talking about you, Aralai.
Yeah, Aralai.
Oh, yeah, if I call one of you guys, I'm going to leave a message because, you know.
I don't understand that.
You're not going to know why I called.
No, and then they'd be like, yo, I called you. Bro, in the multitude of missed calls. Yo, I text you in the multitude of texts. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right. You got a better chance of me calling you back if you leave a voicemail because it shows up in a different screen.
Right, and then I'll leave it unchecked, and I get annoyed by the little red dot on my you know.
Hey, I gotta do that with text. I gotta leave. I see them and I don't answer them.
I'll have to leave the text.
That's
but
my
reminder. But that don't work too sometimes.
Because
that text will stay unanswered. And it'll go. It'll be
like it's lost.
And it gets...
yeah, because it goes.
Sorry, brothers, but that's just how it is for you brothers that be trying to reach me and get a hold of me. You know, same thing, man.
Well, yeah, it's
leave a message.
Leave a message, man. You know,
voice message, not text message.
No, and you know, I mean,
PM me.
We'll get to the topic, but you know, the thing with that is that when you speak to a lot of these gurus about like time management and everything else. They'll tell you that if you spend your day answering every call, you won't get things done.
Yeah.
And the reason is, remember I was talking about what you can control and not control?
Right.
I can't expect other people calling me to know that I'm in the midst of something or what exactly it is.
Very true. Nobody knows, right?
Right.
Exactly.
So what's a priority to you might not be a priority to me because I have something that's truly a higher priority that I'm dealing with.
Right.
So I can't get mad at you. I can't get annoyed at you for not knowing that. How could you know that?
It does get a little annoying, though,
right? But how could they know that, right? So
you're right. So
the only thing that I can't control is if I'm busy, I'm not taking your call,
right?
Because I have something else that I know is a priority, and if I pick up the phone to explain to you that I'm working on another priority, I've just wasted time and backlogged myself.
Hey, this is no disrespect or nothing to no brother, right? Because we hear, thank God for call ID sometimes, bro. You know what I mean?
People have a habit of not being considerate, so you know they don't really think.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, and I think it's a common thing as you know, just in general, as people, like to us, what we're going through is the most important thing in that moment. Mm-hmm. It's hard to go you know, existential like that and consider others and stuff. So. It's a challenging thing we do, though, because as leaders, we're in service to all. But in order for me to be the best me to be able to serve all of you, I gotta mitigate that as best as I can.
Right.
And I tell people,
being
listen,
the best me.
No, and listen, some brothers catch it without me explaining it. Who's the officer czar in Tennessee? He knows through both. He gets me through email, and he's quick. He's concise with what he has to say, and majority of the time. I get to him in moments because even if I'm on a call and you're concise, that I don't need, I could, boom, I'll give you what you need right away. And, bro, that brother, he knows now. So he's one of those that's figured it out and he's hit me through the email, right? Others, they want to call you and then you don't pick up, so they call you again and then they call you. And then I'll be like, boom, must be an emergency. So I'll stop what I'm doing to pick it up, Arali. And it's something that he could have texted me or he could have emailed me.
Yeah, just call to say shalom.
You know, no, nobody's ever done that. I would have blasted him. Bo, you called me four times in a row to say shalom.
Haven't heard from him. I see how you're doing.
Right. You know, so.
I already know with him. I call him. I don't expect him to pick up. I give it a shot. Sometimes I just too much to type.
Is the broadcast still going? I thought I put my phone on airplane mode.
Broadcast interrupted. It went back on again.
Let me check the phone. Go ahead and talk. I'm going to post links and stuff as I go into this. I realize now as reading it, we addressed the salvation and faith alone. We did not address baptism. So we're going to address the baptism part of the Baptist denomination today.
Okay.
All right, but I gotta prevent. See, calls coming in. I'm on a radio show. Most people know I'm on a radio show Saturday morning. Calls coming in.
Yeah. So all praises, man. So we're going to be talking about the baptism. Let's go with John 4 and 1 and 2. And this is a scripture that's in the New Testament, in the book of John, which is one of my favorite New Testament books. I mean, boy, I'm getting calls too. Look at this.
Oh, man.
Boy, I tell you.
This is a special day.
Yeah, special day. And yeah, and I tell you, man, it's just like a talk radio show, right? Anything could happen, man.
Right.
And these, especially the Baptists and these Christians, they're under the fallacy that you must be dipped in water. And if that was the case, all religion, why don't all religions do that, right? But especially the Baptists, they're big on that's where their title comes from, that we must be dipped in water because Christ dipped people in water. Well, that's on the contrary. Yes, Christ did get dipped in water by John the Baptist, but the scripture is going to prove that Christ did not dip anybody in water. That's not what baptism is. Okay. And we're gonna break that down. In fact, we got quite a few scriptures on that one, to be honest with you. But let's start with this right here, just to prove that Christ never baptized anybody and dipping him in water. We're gonna read 1 and 2.
This is the book of John, chapter 4 and verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples.
All right, so it clearly says in verse 2 that Jesus didn't baptize anybody. Okay, his disciples did. And let me preface something here, okay? We're not saying there's anything wrong. You want to be dipped in water? Dip yourself in water. Get dipped in water.
It's the same thing with the name doctrine. Yeah. You want to call him by the Hebrew name?
You want to call him Yahweh Shai? Go ahead, by all means. Just don't make it a doctrine for salvation. And that's the issue. When you must be dipped in water. Okay, hey, we take showers every day, right? Hopefully.
Yeah.
We dip ourselves in water every day.
Every day.
We don't make it a doctrine.
Right. If there's nothing else behind that, then you just... washing yourself physically.
We're going to go ahead and prove that. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Give me, I believe it's Jeremiah. Give me 1 second here. Okay, because that's that hypocritical way of thinking. Give me 1 second here. All right, I believe it's Jeremiah. Let me see here for a minute here. The one that you watch, or you wash with Nitri, soap and Nitri. You know what you're talking about? You know it off the top of your head?
2:22.
Yeah.
Okay. It is Jeremiah, right?
Yep. Yeah, Jeremiah 2:22.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Are you ready? Yep, go ahead.
All right,
go
this ahead. Is Book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God.
Say who? Save the Lord God. So basically, he's saying that there's anything wrong, okay, with being dipped in water, okay? It's just not a commandment, number one. Right. Number two, read it again from the top.
For though thou wash thee with nitre.
Nitre is a form of soap. Go ahead.
And take thee much soap.
Man, you lather yourself up, man. Oh, I'm holier than thou. Go ahead.
Yet thy iniquity is marked before me.
Yet you're still a sinner. So it goes back to what we always say. So what? You're dipped. And that YouTube video is funny as heck. When they got the crackhead, they dip him in and he comes out holding the crack pipe.
Yeah, that thing is funny.
If you are a homosexual, we've said this time and time again, and you get dipped in water, you're just a wet homosexual.
Right.
If you a murderer, right? And murderer, not physically, doesn't necessarily mean just physically. Give me a second. Chuck's going to sneeze. Nope, never mind. Physically murdering your brother or sister, but hate, according to Leviticus 19:17, is murder. Okay, so you getting dipped in water, yet you got a problem with your brother next to you, your sister next to you.
Right.
Okay, you hate them, you can't stand them, and that happens a lot in the Christian churches. Look at her, or look at him, man. Who he think he is, right? And you get dipped in that water, you come out. If you still got that hatred in your heart, you're not going to get salvation like that. Most I ain't dealing with you like that. That's what the scripture says.
And you know what, Cap? I was so glad that I came into the truth, because that was real confusing. Because I've been baptized. I went in that water, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I was baptized. You did full immersion?
Yeah, for
real. What'd you come out of? What denomination?
Baptist.
Oh, okay. So you are Baptist.
Oh, so we got...
How long?
All my life. Because my family was.
Oh, so you need to
that's
speak
the spirit.
Up today.
We didn't even know, man.
Let's not throw all the bullets on the scriptures. Let's talk about this a little bit.
So
let's
we're going to interview you, my brother.
That was the spirit. Look at that. Hey, something went right today.
It was so much confusion, though. It was, coming into the truth.
So
it was
you were born and raised in baptism?
Yeah.
Okay. So at what point... Okay, so one of the tenets of baptism is that you can't be baptized as a child. They want you to... You need to know, right? That's what I'm reading here. So Let me read what I found,
okay,
and then you talk to me. And I know there's even denominations within baptism.
Right.
It goes to show you, man. That's why when we say Christianity, and I think I spelled it wrong. I think I spelled it wrong. When we say Christianity, you have to understand, to be a Christian means to be a follower of Christ.
Right.
Right? And in order to follow somebody, you need to understand what that person was about, what his doctrines were, what his beliefs were, right?
Fully understand.
Right. And listen, I'm gonna make it colloquial, right? for meaning I'm gonna try to speak it plain.
Layman's terms
for people that most people might be able to understand. If you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, that means you know what those candidates are about.
What they stand
right?
for.
What they stand for, mm-hmm. right? And if it lines up with your values and beliefs, you profess the same things as them. All right?
That's a good example. Very good example.
So, if to be a Christian, okay, means to be a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. that means you need to know what those values were, what his beliefs were, and how you line up with that.
Makes right? sense. Right.
Now, why is there so much variability in all the denominations of Christianity then? If there was one Christ and he taught one thing, and it's not just the different denominations of the Christian faith, it's the sub-denominations within a denomination. Because you have Southern Baptists, Northern Baptists, we did the apostolic,
exactly,
and you have different
exactly.
types of apostolicism, right? What is all this variability?
That's
the confusion. That's heavy what you do. And I'm going to piggyback off of the same political example. So when you choose a political party, you tend to vote for the most part, right? Because some people could be Republicans and they'll vote for a Democrat, right?
Right.
But you're still basing it on a value that they are presenting that you have.
Right.
Does that make sense so far? Right. I didn't lose you earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to say that you're following Christ, that means that you agree with everything that Christ said. So, give me Matthew 10:34.
Okay.
You got something? Can I go there real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Do what you got to
do. Give me Matthew 10:34. Okay. And let's see if this is a value that you agree with, because you profess to follow Christ. Okay. Go ahead.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth.
Well, hold on. Let's start with that right there, of that verse, of that precept. According to all other denominations, this long, Caucasian-looking, hippie-looking, surfer-looking dude, okay, is the savior, and they always have him looking effeminate, right? And he's coming with peace and lambs, and they always show him sitting with kids around him. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's and you know what? That's not that you think about it in the spirit. That's not by accident, because the image that's created after Caesar Borgia
mm-hmm.
was a pedophile.
Right.
So they're staying. It's the little hidden messages that they put in there. Okay. But he's always around with kids. Okay. He always looks like the actor Josh Brolin or something like that, or just like a right. Never nowhere near what the scripture depicts him as looking, because show me a scripture that says he looks that way, but I digress. Okay. So read the first part again.
Think not that I am come to send peace on earth.
He ain't come to bring peace on earth. Okay. That's what they teach you. Us growing up in Catholicism. Okay. Yes, he is the lamb.
Right.
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 Okay. That take away the sins of the world, but not in the perspective like Christianity likes to teach you. He's the lamb that gives us grace so that we sin no more.
Right.
And he ain't coming with peace when he returns in the so-called rapture, which is nowhere in the Bible either. Go ahead.
I came not to send peace, but a sword.
But a sword. Why does Christ, how come they never depict him holding a sword? Why does Christ say?
Nobody ever talks about that part. Nobody ever talks about how mad he was that he went. And it wasn't a fit of rage.
No.
Because he stopped.
Righteous anger.
Because he stopped to take cords and braid it.
That's what you
time.
Call premeditated.
That takes time. And he braided cords to go beat the money exchangers for selling on the Sabbath.
Most Christians don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he wasn't a weak, skinny-looking dude, because he says he turned over those money tables. Back then, they didn't make things like... They didn't have Home Depot back then.
It wasn't pressed particle
wood.
It
wasn't pressed compressed
wood. It wasn't IKEA furniture.
Walmart,
they didn't have IKEA.
Put it together with a... No. These things were heavy as heck.
Someone fell the tree and scraped the hell out of the tree and then fastened some legs to it. You know what I'm saying? That's some tables.
Hey, with hammers, because they didn't have power drills.
Nope.
So they did
hand,
this thing with the big nails. The same one that they put more than likely crucified Christ with, the Black Messiah.
Right.
Okay? This is that man. All right, go ahead.
For I am come to set a man at variance against his father.
No, but wait a minute. Christ, everybody should be saved, and Christ loves everybody, and we're supposed to love no matter what, right? Go ahead.
And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And a man's foes shall be they of his own household.
Wait a minute. Christ was actually prophesying that your foes means enemies, it's another word for enemies, F-O-E, shall be what?
Of your own household.
Of your own household. Why? Because when you bring out the actual truth according to the same Bible that you have sitting in your house, that we are the Israelites, you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, that we are God's chosen and God's chosen only, that salvation is only for us, that Christ is a man of color, a black man, as we would know him today, with woolly hair, mm-hmm. you become a foe of that same person that you claim you love. It starts with your mom. He says it right there. Your mother, your father, your daughter, mm-hmm. your own children, your own wife, your own husband. Go ahead.
Verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Wait a minute. That's totally against any religion.
Baptist. Yes.
Baptist. This is coming from a man that his whole life. Okay. We're going to talk about it. We're going to interview him here now. He didn't know what he walked into today. Go ahead.
Made him nervous when he said that.
And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
For you fathers and mothers that are letting your children run astray, doing all types of wickedness, okay, and you choosing them over the Most High God and Christ. Go ahead.
And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
All right, so that's just one scripture of many, okay, to prove that these religions. I mean, we've been doing it for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually on and off because we've had some other topics that have come up. We've been talking about Christianity.
We've been debunking. I mean, we've been debunking. Debunking. You hear me? We've been debunking.
It's a funky week.
Debunking Christianity.
Christianity is very dangerous because
dangerous.
I told my
wife. Christianity is a hell of a drug.
I told my wife, I said, ask your mother what's going to happen when Christ returns. She asked her and she said, he's going to come back and heal people and hug and kiss people.
Is that what that said there in that verse? He said he came with, you don't heal people. Oh, you're going to heal people with a sword. He's going to heal people with a sword, all right.
Yeah, he's going to heal all right.
he's going to take away that disease that they have called wickedness.
Sometimes to heal something, you got to cut something off.
Yeah. That's why when you got diabetes, they cut off so it won't spread.
That's why it says there has to be a falling away.
Falling away.
Yeah.
There has to be a falling
away. Falling away.
But 2 Peter 3 and 10 say it's going to come. Forgot
how it goes. Bring it out there. If you forgot how it goes, let's give the people that edification.
And I'll read it for you, man. Go ahead. 2 Peter 3 and 10, you said?
Yeah. I think chapter 3, verse 10.
Let's see what we got here. Oh, okay. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
All right. So this is in response to what your mom's response was, mm-hmm. that he's going to come and heal people and hugs and all that stuff and kiss them, wash their feet. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt in fervent heat.
That don't sound like healing and hugs and kisses.
That sounds like there's going to be some what they call collateral damage from that fervent heat. If the elements will melt, that don't sound. You know what it is, bro? They got this vision in his head that he's gonna come down like
in a cloud, like the Da Vinci pictures.
You know, like you see in shows with the wires that you can't see.
Right.
Like he's gonna come down in a white robe, and mm-hmm. will be white,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be dipped in blood.
Right. That's right.
And he's gonna come down just a pure white robe, and he's gonna look like that surfer dude.
That rock star.
The rock star. Yeah, Jesus Christ superstar.
The words I was about to say that nonsense.
he gonna come down, and there's gonna be harps playing and angels singing.
Yeah,
Kumbaya and hallelujah. Yeah. And all that.
What would be more appropriate is seeing the sky on fire and hearing like some heavy metal music. That's the music. They think it's going to be harps. But it says a great noise.
A great noise. Bro, I'm 45. She's in her 60s. She's been a Christian all her life.
All her life.
Hey. She's never heard this music.
Wow. Hey, yeah, but you know why? I maintain the vast majority of so-called Christians, and I say so-called because they're not really, truly followers of Christ, because the scripture tells you if you're a follower of him, you'll walk as he walked.
Right.
Right? So they're not truly followers of Christ. So that brings me to this point with that division. So going back to what I was reading, all right, and we're going to talk about how there's so much variability, right, and then I want to get back to you and we'll bring out the rest of the baptism scriptures. First, let me get Amos 3. And let's start at 3. I'm going to line this up this way. All right? Amos 3 and 3. I'm going to line this up this way. And while you look for that real quick, I'll do a little housekeeping, all right, before I jump into that thought. The call-in number for the show is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797, all right? If you would like any more information on Israel United in Christ, more learning, more teachings, more videos, you know, what our beliefs are, go ahead and go to www.israelunite.org. That's israelunite.org. Also, if you're interested in purchasing any apparel, fringes, border of blue, any type of apparel, Israelite music, books, whatever, almost anything you could think of, we have available for you at originalroyalty.com. That's originalroyalty.com. Now, go ahead and read that for me, and I'll get to my point.
This is the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Right. So the scripture tells you, can two walk together? Can two people, two nations, two whatever walk together except they be agreed? The scripture's telling you no, right? I don't need that, okay? Let me go to Matthew 12 and 25 now.
All right.
All right. That's a common sense thing. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And if the scripture tells you that, then people who say let's agree to disagree, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Oh, well, we're agreeing in disagreement. No. It says can two walk together lest they be agreed. All right?
That's like saying a lesser of the two evils.
Right. Exactly. All right. Go ahead.
12:25. Okay. It's the book of Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself brought to this desolation. Every kingdom brought to desolation, and every city of or house divided against itself shall not stand.
Right. So again, so we read in Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? And then Christ here saying every kingdom that's divided against itself is brought to desolation, because Christianity thinks that they're going to have this kingdom of heaven no matter what denominations they're in, all this other stuff, right? And it says, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
Right.
So you have all these different denominations, and even within that, you have sub-denominations. So Baptists have denominations, so it's not just Baptists as a whole. Within there, there's denominations. Apostolics have that. Within there, there's denominations. All right? Just if you wanted to not even go to the sub-denominations, Christianity is compromised. They all fall under either Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox, or Protestantism.
Right.
You got Lutheranism, Jehovah's Witness. And then you got some that come up with non-denominational, which is still a denomination. Because what they mean by non-denominational is that it's not any of the known denominations.
Yeah, they don't want to be tied to anything in particular, so they make the rules as they go.
They make the rules as they go, right. And they're not one of the main ones that have been established,
right.
Denominations.
Just like agnostic. You still have a belief. You have a belief in nothing.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, atheists too. They all have the same belief,
religion, right?
So, but as Christianity, and as we started to discuss the conversation, it's all the division within Christianity of itself. All right, with all the different denominations. Okay. And now I want to go to, let's go to Ephesians 4. And let's start at 4.
All right, this is the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
And if can two walk together lest they be agreed, a house divided cannot stand, by the very nature of the denominations means Baptists can't sincerely believe that Catholics will be saved. Catholics can't sincerely believe that Baptists will be saved. Jehovah's don't believe that any
point.
Other. So they are divided.
Right.
But this here tells you, all right, it's one body, it's one spirit, and you're all called in one hope of your calling. Read on.
Mm-hmm. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith.
One faith. So all these different statements of faith, testaments of faith, though they won't talk about it, what they're really saying is, all right, if you're a Baptist, you believe no other religion is going to be saved. If you're a Catholic, you believe no other religion is going to be saved, right? So where's the backlash and issues with that methodology,
mm-hmm.
all right? Hey, many of our detractors, you have what they call these Christian apologists,
mm-hmm.
okay? Their whole premise for going at these different religions, right, is that their way is the right way, okay? Mm-hmm. What they're really saying in that is that all the Muslims are going to die, all this. Is that a Christian spirit? Is that a Christian spirit?
Right, because Muslim and Christian is
right.
two separate
no.
religions,
right.
right?
And they'll tell you, well, no, that's why we evangelize to Muslims, so that they can accept Christ, so that they can be saved. So Christ isn't love then. He's going to destroy all the Muslims is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to destroy all the atheists is what you're saying. And you're okay with that, and nobody's lambasting them for that message.
Mm-hmm.
That's
racism of itself right there.
You see the hypocrisy?
That's racism. That's separate. That's being a
You see the hypocrisy?
Citizen.
Yes.
The God that we serve is a man of war, the scripture says.
Yes.
There's going to be bloodshed. You just read in 2 Peter how it's going to happen. It says he will plead with them with his sword for his people.
Wow.
But I'm just going under the premise of, let's just say all people are, but regardless of race, are going to be saved. You're just as evil because you're breaking it down based on religion.
And they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm
and
saying,
the
hypocrisy of it.
Yeah,
this is why it cannot stand.
Ridiculous.
It'll not prosper. It cannot stand in that day. All right? Because it says there's only one faith.
Hey, this is why it's been around for thousands of years, right?
Right.
And where's Christ?
And I'm not against the message of saying there's one faith and one way. All right? Because that's what we preach. And that's what we know according to the scriptures. There is only one faith and one Lord and one way. And that way is the way of the Most High in the spirit of Christ for the Israelites.
And you know, like I said, Christianity is dangerous. I'm not trying to bash my mother-in-law, but if you talk to them long enough, they'll say things you never knew was in them. Like she said one time, there's many different ways to God, to heaven. I said, wow.
But that's not biblical.
That's not biblical.
Start from the top of verse 4 and 4. Let's read that again.
There is one body.
That one is one, right? Does one many go together?
No.
No. So there are not many ways.
No.
There is one body. Go ahead.
And one spirit.
Go ahead.
Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
I'm hearing a lot of one, not many.
One.
Because if that rationale is correct, then these should then say there is many bodies, there are many spirits, even as you are called in many hopes of your callings. Read on.
One Lord, one faith. One baptism.
One baptism. Go ahead.
One God and Father of all is above all and through all and in all, in you all. All
right. And people say, see, that means for all people. He is in you all. All right.
Mm.
This is the danger. This is the danger of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not fully understanding what you're subscribing to, what Kool-Aid you're drinking. And not really understanding what this means. You hear all, and for some reason, in regular life, if it's outside of religion, most people would say all who, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell you, hey, we were at a baseball game, right? And all the players stood up and, you know, they started chanting for something
right.
or whatever. And you would say all the players from both teams, right? The point I'm trying to make is that there's context to the all.
Right,
all
right.
doesn't mean everybody, all right? Just like the confusion with world. World doesn't
right.
particularly mean everybody,
right.
okay? So you would say all and say, well, what do you mean all? In what context, all right? I'll give you another example. all the animals at the zoo were sleepy. You can stop there and say, okay, that means all the animals. Mm-hmm. All right. Were all the lions sleepy? Yeah. Were all the tigers sleepy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were all the rhinos sleepy? No. So no, then all the animals were not. The point is I'm making is that all can be described with subcategories.
Right.
All right. And people don't take that into consideration. The whole Bible, how many times did it say Israel in the Bible? Over 2,500 times?
2,847
times. 2,847 times. All right. Israel is mentioned in the Bible. Then all of a sudden, it's not about Israel and it's about the whole world? It doesn't make any sense. The scripture tells you there's one. All right.
Hey, let's prove that real quick, because somebody may say, oh, well, that's not what the New Testament says. Let's get Matthew 15:24. Okay, coming from the Savior's mouth himself, the Black Messiah. Okay, to see if anything changed. Right, because some people like to say that, oh, well, Christ changed all of that.
All right, this is the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
So where in that verse does it say, and everyone else? No. Does it maybe say it in the next verse, brother?
No.
Say it in the verse above?
Hey, give me John 6:44 to kind of go with the whole theme of what we're reading here. I'm gonna jump around a little bit, get back to that all, and let me see how much time we got left on the show.
I don't even need any explanation. That's plain, right?
We might have to do a part three on this to really. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We got like 23 minutes left. I'm saying the technical difficulties messed us up. Get me that.
Book of John, chapter 6 and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him.
Right? So it's telling you here about the one, right? It says it's one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We understand, if you understand your full scripture, that the all is talking about the Israelites.
Right.
So now Christ is saying, again, pointing out the hypocrisy of Christianity, because most of these denominations also believe in the Trinity.
Right.
It says, no man can come to me except the Father, which have sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So it's telling you the Father is the one that will call you, that will draw you to him. And then Christ plays his part. Get me John 14 and 6. And then I want to talk a little bit about your involvement being a Baptist, all right? Go ahead.
This book of John, chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
This is the hypocrisy and the isolation of school. We just read that you can't come to Christ unless the Father draw you. Uh-huh. And now he's telling you, you can't go to the Father unless you come up to me. They'll try to say that that's a jive talk to let you know that he's talking about himself. Usually the simplest answer is the most rational.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that most people are indoctrinated with this all one people. And it goes back to the time of the Maccabees. When you read First Maccabees 1, I believe 41, and the rise of democracy and all one people. That's not biblical. All one people is not biblical. That is a man-made doctrine, all right, in the time of Antiochus, okay? And it tells you that, well, it doesn't use the word democracy, but it's explaining democracy, and it says that was the religion. It says many of the Jews subscribe to that religion, and all people subscribe to that religion.
Isn't that in the Constitution? All men are created.
Yes. Through time immemorial, the Most High has spoke about separation.
Yep, from the beginning.
It's separation. The unity that's spoken about is the unity within that separate group. Other than that, it's been separation. He separated the waters from the waters. He separated the night from the day. He separated the creatures in the ocean from the creatures in the air, from the creatures on the land. He separated man from those creatures. He separated man and woman from that. It's all about separation. He named 18 nations. And with the tower, you think that his plan with the Tower of Babel and confusing the speech was a reactionary? No, that was a proactive plan from the beginning.
Hey, if Most High wasn't about separation, why was everybody given their own portion of land?
Why was everybody giving their own gods, according to Deuteronomy 4?
Their own gods.
If it wasn't about separation.
Their own portion of land. Okay? Separation.
It's like you said, Cat, Christianity, they don't read the Bible.
No.
This is that man that's standing on the podium.
No.
They'll have it in front of them.
They
know there's words. They know there's words on that in that book.
Yeah, they know
there's words on those pages.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't dawn on them that the whole Bible is talking about a nation called Israel being saved.
Right, and half of them have never heard of Israel, like Israelites.
Exactly. They won't look at it and be like, "Well, damn, I learned about these other nations in history class in school too," because the Bible is a history book.
And they got the nerve to tell you, you're not right. That's your translation of the, but you never read it.
There's no way. You're sitting there, you see it on the TV, evangelist shows and all of that stuff, with the Bible, huge Bible,
mm-hmm.
huge, with all the different type of tassels, about 9 different type of tassels.
Right.
So whole chapters and pages, I don't know why, because they ain't reading them.
They just sit there.
Right, they just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And all they do is listen to a man that's standing up on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
I call that a stage because it's a show, right? All it is a show. It's entertainment.
Sometimes he'll walk around. He'll read the Bible on the
yeah. They'll show the scripture on the TV screen. He'll mention the scripture,
right. But
he won't read the scripture or read it fully or give the proper understanding, right, of the scripture, and then it all leads back to that's why you got to tithe. But they're okay with that.
That's Christianity.
Right. So let's talk a little bit. Share your experience. So you said. So I'm reading here. It says they only believe, they're supposed to only believe in believer's baptism as opposed to infant baptism. So how old were you when you were baptized?
Oh, I was. See, here's the thing, and in Christianity and Baptist, I was raised by my great-grandmother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was one of those Christians that would mainly go to church on Easter Sunday.
Mm. Yeah. She was one of the big hats.
Yeah, she was one of them.
Easter.
So when I met my wife, that's when I started going to more often.
Okay? Gotcha.
So, like I said, like you mentioned it, all the different denominations. So when somebody asks you, what's your denomination? Even though I was Baptist, I would still be like, Baptist?
Yeah, like Southern Baptist, or you know, there's so many different ones.
Because I was always, wasn't sure, because like you say, it was all so many different ones, and they never really teach you what you are. They're just, you know, they're just go through the motions.
Right. So, yeah, look, I'm looking now. They have a list of Baptist denominations. So you say Baptist, and that's not enough, right?
Right.
See, we could say we're Israelites, and you're good, and you're done, right?
Right, exactly.
So you got list. So you have All Africa Baptist, Association of Baptist Churches of Chad, Baptist Church of the Central African, Southern Baptist. But they have them all by region. You got Indian Baptist, Nisi Baptist Church, New Life bro.
You got the Church of the Baptist for the Baptists that are into the baptism of the Baptists.
Right.
Bro, there are so many
countries.
You then you got regional Baptist.
I used to say
sponsored by the Baptists.
I went from Baptist, let me say Southern Baptist. That might sound
Baptist. North American Baptist.
The hell is this?
North American Baptist.
There's just so many. Alliance of Baptists. There's just, those are worldly. Just the United States alone has, bro, this looks like 50.
Hey, you talk about the brainwashing. You ask somebody many times on the street, what's your nationality?
Seventh-day Baptist.
Yeah.
So that means there's probably Baptists that keep the seventh-day Sabbath.
Right. What's your nationality?
Like, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, what's their nationality? They'll be like, I'm a Christian.
That's what they say.
In their mind, it's their nationality. It's not even a denomination.
And listen, if you go back to the way the Most High set it up, Christian's not a nationality. You're being stupid. All right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's 18 nations that the Lord created.
None of them were called Christian.
None of them were called Christian. So you're gonna go against what God said?
Mm-hmm. I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
No, God.
Yeah, God. hey, you're correct. We are all children of God,
mm-hmm.
all right? We are all children of God.
The Bible talks about that, but there was one nation that was chosen.
Yes. Hey, in Ezra, it talks to you about that. And it says, and as for the other people that also come from Adam.
Come from Adam, right.
Right, so you're right. We're all children of God.
Mm-hmm.
But God, in his glory, in his
infinite wisdom.
In his infinite wisdom that we cannot even propose to comprehend, except via what he's given us here.
Right.
All
right.
Which is enough. Said, hey, I chose you, and I did, and I chose these other ones for something else. I chose those other ones too. I chose them for something else.
Romans 9 talks about that.
Hey, Acts 10, when it talks about vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. All
right,
where it talks about the sheet that comes down.
Oh, that's Acts 10,
and
right?
And the four corners.
Right.
All
right. Right.
And then everybody says, well, damn, people literally take that to say that means you can eat all animals.
Yeah.
It really takes a spiritual mind to look at that, because the four corners, all right, it's just a great sheet by four corners that goes into us being scattered into four corners, and the animals is representative of Israel being scattered into all nations.
Peter says it later on in the chapter.
Oh, in the same chapter you cut him. You cut him with the same chapter.
Right.
The same chapter.
He's talking about people.
Yep.
Right. Right. So talk a little bit more. So when did you get baptized?
I got baptized, I would say, right after my first year of. Well, we dated for a year, so I would say that first year I got baptized. We got they told us wear swimming trunks, and
I'm gonna go swim some laps.
I said, where's the pool at? They said the pool is actually behind the stage, where the big cross is. The cross is you can't see the pool because it's raised up. You see the cross, so we go upstairs. I said, where are we going? And I see the pool. We come upstairs. I see the pool. I said, oh, overstayed.
Did it have a diving board?
No.
Oh, okay.
So we got our swimming trunks on. Women got the ladies got their bathing suits on. We got this this robe on. They put the robe on us, I guess, to make it look authentic or whatever. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You know, the toga robe.
Right.
We got
the Renaissance period.
Right.
That's not how we dressed.
It's a line of people. You know, we all take our turns. We go in the water. The pastor is there. He dips us. We go in. We turn around. He puts his hands around us, and he pushes us back in the water. You know, puts his hand on our face, pushes us back in the water, and we come up, and we say, hey, hallelujah.
Hey, I got a question for you. When you were waiting on that line, what was going through your mind, bro?
I was excited.
You were excited? You thought that was just gonna
was gonna change. I was like, I'm about to get baptized.
Right.
I'm gonna have the spirit.
Right.
I'm gonna have the spirit at the moment.
I don't know. If I was standing in that line, I would have been like, what the hell am I doing?
I was into it, bro. I was like, oh yeah. And I've been baptized. I'm gonna get baptized for the first time. I'm gonna have the spirit.
Right.
I'm gonna be righteous.
Right. So let me ask you this. Yeah. Go ahead. So when you came out that water,
a couple days later, I realized. Okay, I don't really feel anything.
I'm still the same guy that I was.
Yeah, I'm still cussing and drinking and looking at women walk down the sidewalk. I'm still.
Hey, and I understand. I understand, right? We know repentance.
Understand.
I know. I just caught that. So repentance is a process, right?
Right.
And we know it doesn't happen overnight. So it's not like you were going to just stop doing all those
things. Exactly.
But,
here's
the thing. If you were dipped in water, and there's no substance behind that. And the substance, okay, I'm referring to is what you find in Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Okay, is it Hebrews? It's the one I want about faith. Hebrews 2 and 10. Is it Hebrews?
What are you looking for? Faith.
It's in Hebrews. Hebrews faith, about faith. What is faith?
Oh, Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11. Okay. Let's read that real quick. All because right. That has to have substance, right? Because this symbolism is one thing. And we understand, first and foremost, that baptism is symbolic.
Right
of cleansing. It's symbolic. It's not a ritual. It's not something that's a mandate to get salvation. Okay, go ahead.
This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. All
right, so you were dipped in that water and you were hoping you were going to come out a different person.
Right.
But go ahead.
The evidence of things not seen.
But you were being dipped as an African American.
Right.
You didn't realize that there was more to your life and your heritage than that.
Right.
Go ahead.
Verse 2.
That's it. Okay. So where is your evidence that you were supposed to come out holy and cleansed? You didn't have it because they didn't tell you who you really were.
Right.
So it's just like the stipulation for repentance is you got to bethink yourself when you read 1 Kings 8:46-49. Yes. Why is that number one? Because you don't believe you're an Israelite. You don't believe you're God's chosen. Anybody could be saved. None of this Bible is going to mean anything to you.
Doesn't mean anything.
So being dipped in water means nothing. Again, we're not saying you want to get dipped in water, get dipped in water. But if you don't have no substance.
Right. Check this out. I'm going to give you a scripture for that. Give me Mark 7 and let's start at 6.
Mark 7:6.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you something, but this is and then you could jump right in with your thought there on this, because this is going right into what you're saying, and this is Christ's words.
It's the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, "Well have Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me."
Go ahead, read on.
Mm-hmm.
"Howbeit, in vain do they worship. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine." What is that? Doctrines. Yeah. "The commandments of men."
Go ahead. Verse 8 is the point.
"For laying aside the commandments of God."
Because this is the emphasis that they put on baptism and water baptism. Lay aside the weightier matters. Lay aside the commandments of the Lord. Go ahead.
"Ye hold the traditions of men."
Of being dipped in water. Go ahead.
"As the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do."
So he compares it to as just washing of cups and waters. It's just a physical washing, but you've laid aside the component that is
right
missing,
there.
Which
That's
is the commandments. Read verse 5 so you understand what's going on here.
Verse 5?
Uh-huh.
Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?"
Because that's such a common question I get from many of the people that are so hung up on that water baptism. Mm-hmm. "Do you guys believe in water baptism? Well, how come you don't water baptize? Where is your tradition in that?" Mm-hmm. So people are so hung up on that piece. But they go ahead and they emphasize the washing, like washing of pots and cups, laying aside the commandment of God.
And you know what, Cap? If it was so powerful, you would only need it one time, right?
Right.
And you hear people say, "Well, I've been baptized 4 times."
And you're still the damn devil.
Because in Christianity, like you said, like you asked me, I didn't feel no difference. And then I hear somebody in the church say, "I've been baptized twice." I said, "Wait, maybe I need to be baptized again. Maybe I feel something different." No, mm-hmm. No, you're not.
Maybe they didn't do it right. Maybe they put too much water in my ears.
Maybe I had the wrong things on my mind.
Yeah. It was the Speedos you were wearing. You should have wore just regular swim trunks. Hey, listen, man. Just like all the prophets in the New Testament, they all quoted Christ himself, number one, the prophets from the Old Testament.
Right.
All Mark was saying right there was exactly what Isaiah said in Isaiah 29 and 13. Let's read that.
Wait. Before you jump to that, I want to.
Oh, I thought you were done.
No.
Oh, okay.
Read verse 9.
Okay.
No, I thought you would say more to jump on this based on what you said before.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm going to be quick because there's like 6 minutes left. So read verse 9.
Okay. Mark 7, chapter 7, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
"And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own tradition."
This is the way they esteem the water baptism above keeping the commandments of God. For example, read.
"For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death."
So he's using this particular law. The Pharisees were hypocritical on a lot of the laws, emphasizing other things that were heavy. You can bring that up to today because, right, you can bring any law. He used this one, but you can bring any law against those who emphasize baptism, all these other manly traditions above what the scripture says. Catholicism is the most egregious when it comes to stuff like that. Right? So he quotes the law. Go ahead, read verse 11.
"But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corbain, that is to say a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free."
So he says this in another one of the Gospels a little different. It's basically saying, like, you go to your parents and be like, as a child, you're talking, "Well, hey, what do you mean honor you? I'm a blessing for you, right?
Right.
And so there's no honor in there, right? So and then he goes into verse 12 and he says, and if you suffer no more to do aught for his father or his mother, you making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do ye. So that's the same thing today with that baptism piece, all right? They esteem that above everything else. This is why it's empty to dip yourself in water, because if you do this without the commandments, then it's nothing. This is why we say if you want to dip yourself, fine, but you've done nothing, all right? Dipping yourself is symbolic, okay? Ephesians, is it Ephesians 5? It says by washing of water. Is it 4 or 5?
522.
It says by washing of water, by washing with the
by the washing of water by the word.
By the word. By the washing of water by the word. Mm-hmm. That is what truly cleanses you.
26.
All right. That, again, read it.
It's the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Not by dipping you by full immersion, by dipping you wearing some robe or whatever into
right.
the water. All right. You lay aside what's most important and the actions that you must take to become that, and you think like that the water is like the Captain America super serum.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're going to come out of that thing and you're going to have powers or something like that. No. Repentance is a walk that you must endure, and it's actionable. This is why it says if you are a follower of Christ in 1 John, you should walk as he walked.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say get dipped and then you will. It says you should walk as he walked. That means you got to follow after that example. Detailed, all right. Go ahead, Cap.
Yeah, just real quick, and it says there when you read the first verse that you went, so it says, "Well said, Isaiah," meaning Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like I was mentioning,
Christ is quoting scripture.
Christ is quoting scripture. Okay, that's all he did.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament was not written when Christ was walking the earth. That was not written to approximately 70 years after his death. Okay, so what was Christ teaching? He was teaching the Old Testament. With the understanding that he came as the forgiveness of sins and for grace. He became as a sacrificial lamb based on the Old Testament with the exception of the law of sacrifice. That was done away with. He became the law of sacrifice.
And you know what we know that's done away with? Because Hebrews breaks that down
clearly,
deeply on that. And
clearly. Clearly. And Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 8 breaks that
down. And the reason
clearly.
It's in Hebrews is because those were that was addressed to the Israelites that understood and knew. It wasn't the ones that from the captivities had left those traditions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they didn't need to get it explained because they weren't keeping the sacrificial law anyway.
He was just reminding them.
So he was reminding them of their history and their roots and saying, hey, listen, stop. And this is why you get the thing in Acts where it says, don't put that burden on them. Don't put these or whatever, what have you. You don't have to run to them and say, well, no, now you got to start keeping the sacrificial law. And in Romans, he goes out of his way to talk about the one that eat and the one that don't. He's talking about there's some that, hey, they still wanted to do the sacrificial stuff on like certain days and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, fine, don't judge the ones that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to understand the purpose of that thing was just it was like a schoolmaster until the real high priest came.
Right, because of the Middle War partition.
Yes.
That was that wall there. There was some still with
right.
following law of sacrifice.
Some were still following Christ. And I went over that in the Way to Truth to Life class with Christ when it talks about it was only that one high priest that once a year was able to go into the Holy of Holies to make that
right.
one sacrifice every
right.
year. But they
right.
were saying that's imperfect because nobody else could, you had to have that one thing there. Nobody else could go in there, and it says every year wouldn't do that. Christ sacrificed once and for all, eliminated that, all right? So the wall of partition is first and foremost dealing with the struggle and the understanding
mm-hmm.
between the northern and southern kingdom or any in the Gentiles. We say northern and southern. There was some southern kingdom that went off to be Gentile state of mind.
Right, they were flowing with the northern kingdom, sure.
Right,
sure.
And they were flowing that
sure.
way,
and
all right?
Just like there was some northern kingdom that were flowing with
so
the southern
they
kingdom.
So they had that eliminating that also served the purpose in bringing the scattered back into the fold and saying, hey, it's not that complicated no more. You just have to have the understanding in Christ and what that meant. You still need to know historically why your forefathers and everything. This is why the woman by the well was talking about our father's sacrifice in these mountains,
right.
okay? And it was bringing that understanding that, hey, this one sacrifice was made for all of you, even those of you who weren't keeping the sacrificial law,
hey,
all right?
The scripture says there's nothing new under the sun, right? The same thing that was happening today was happening back then.
Right.
You had people that were confused, okay? And that's fine. That's fine because the scripture says, all right, many are called, but few are chosen, right? Scripture says his word don't go void. Those that were meant, those were meant to be are saved are going to be saved when they hear his word.
Right. All right, so a little bit of a shotgun show. Like I said, funky week, 10 seconds, and we're signing off. Lord's will, we'll be able to be more structured and go into detail next week. This is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show, and we are signing off. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.